The next speaker, you've already heard from her, and I also want to give just a big shout out because I was kind of a fan, just like with Aaron, I was a fanboy of Gabrielle. Yes, fanboy. I had the shirt with your picture on it and everything. I don't know if you knew that. Yeah, it was kind of creepy. It was really creepy. Yeah, yeah. Gabrielle had a restraining order, but then I paid her to take it away. Gabrielle is not just the freelance bookkeeper. She's not just a goddess of this industry. She's also the head of the board of directors of the Digital Bookkeeper Association. And so what that means is that she has to wrangle me, and she has to make sure that everything is working well. And we got a lot of cool stuff that's going to be coming up with the DBA. Now that COVID is lifted, now that we've had this event, now that we have certified digital bookkeepers, the future is bright for what we're going to be doing as a Digital Bookkeeper Association. But more importantly right now, Gabrielle is somebody worth listening to. She's just like for us old people in here, E.F. Hutton. When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. When Gabrielle Fontaine talks, you should listen because she's so, so smart. Let's welcome to the stage again, Gabrielle Fontaine.
Whoops, sorry. just knocked him off the head. Well, thank you. Glad to be here. And guess what we're going to talk about today? Systems! It's what we've been talking about throughout the conference, right? It's processes, workflows, your operations. But we know from what we've heard all along from Alyssa, from Ben Day, from Ben Robinson, from Justin Boynton, who said that he wished yesterday, he said he wished he focused on his systems before he started hiring people and ramping up. There's a reason for that. Because if we first, like Ben said, start focusing on our marketing, which I need to have money coming in, we need that. But if we do that to neglect our systems, then we're working hard to bring in those clients, and then they're going out the back door because it's not working so well once they get past the initial glow. So a question here, though, because we all have heard this for a long time, it's taught in Bookkeeper Launch that we have to get our systems in. And we know that some people like Alyssa and a few others here have got it handled. They've got their processes down. But I want to know, total honesty, who here has all of their processes done, they're up to date, and they're working great? And congratulations to the hands that are up. I don't have it all either, because mine are outdated now, and we know it changes quickly. So why is it that so many of us stumble and have a hard time with it? It's because it's a heck of a lot of work. Now you have the wonderful resource of what Alyssa went through, because she went through the nitty-gritty steps of really getting it all done. But that's not what we're going to talk about today, is getting it all done. This is a workshop. We're not going to just talk about it. We're going to do it. But because we only have 45 minutes, we're going to do it very efficiently. So I don't have a ton of material here for you, but I do have some guiding principles, and then you're just going to do it. So like Nike says, right, just do it. And sometimes, as I always say, the learning's in the doing, but sometimes we get great insights as well when we're applying what we're learning right away, and it'll stick better. So with that, I'm just going to bring us back, ground us now, because we say, okay, yeah, my systems aren't so great, and they're out of date, and my team doesn't know what's, you know, who's doing what, and you're not alone, and we never get it perfect. It's dynamic. It's never done 100%. But imagine if you could have the key processes handled, the ones that will make your business move forward. And that could go in two kind of flavors. We've talked about it, that it could be that you're trying to build your empire. You really want to scale it. You want to remove yourself from the operations. I'm going to keep calling on you, Alyssa. Why did you think I wanted you to sit over there? is take 3 weeks off, right? Remove yourself from your business and have it still grow and function. Or it might be that maybe you don't even have that big vision. You actually want to just have it small, maybe a couple team members, if any, but you don't want to be working your brains out anymore. That's what can happen when you just put in simple systems. They will get you there. In fact, they will get you most of the way there. And when we're trying to bridge that gap, we're thinking, how do we do that? Well, a lot of times as adults, we learn based on examples of others. Well, you have lots of examples here, and we can call on colleagues, pick their brains, and ask, but a lot of that is still the analyzing, you know, analysis by or paralysis by analysis. Here's a quick example of a real company that did just one simple system that made a huge difference. And it's a company called Foray Business Group. They're up in Washington State. And they're a small practice. And what their issue was is it was taking so long to get through the books to produce the financial statements each month. Their team wasn't, they were disorganized, couldn't figure out how to do that. So then they just put down a simple system that they recognized, okay, we need to speed this up. We need to have a consistent workflow that everybody's following on the same page. And when they did that, they were able to shave off 2 weeks in the time it took for all their clients to get the financials done. Now, maybe you've got this particular process down, but if you were delivering the reports on the 20th or the 24th of the month, and now you could move that back to the 10th, what impact would that have on your business? Would it be significant? Do you think? Yeah, heck yeah. But here's the other benefit that they mentioned, was because things were disarray, clients were calling, and the chaos that comes from not having their processes in place, even when they weren't working, it was on their mind, they weren't fully with their kids, they wanted that work-life balance. But they found once they had the system down, they knew what to do, everybody's on the same page, could get it done quicker, all of a sudden, their personal time was their personal time with their family. And in Stephen, you know I like Stephen Covey and the 7 Habits, that also goes to the 7th habit, which is sharpen the saw. We can't be workaholics working all the time. We need to have time for ourselves. So even if you don't have these visions of grandeur for a really big business, which some of us do, and that's amazing, but some of us who don't, we need to make sure that the business can still run without us when we're not working. Like, we need to take time off. And that's what a simple system can do. It removes much of the stress that we face. So I like to know, and again, I'm still learning these lessons. That's why I can speak so passionately. Because I do this, I've learned it, I'm still learning it. Who gets stressed out when we hit busy season? Who got stressed out when all of a sudden we had to deal with all the PPP and all of that stuff? That was crazy, right? And it could throw our systems off. But at least if we have our main systems down, nice and smooth, at least we knew where we could find some breathing room for the unexpected. So just notice here, the thing I want you to take away from this case study is that it was just one thing they did to make sure they could get their reports out quicker. So to get from where you are to where you want to be, what's it going to take? Now, we know that there's a lot to it. I'm not going to lie, and that's where most of us get stuck, or we get it handled, and then we slack off, and then we're stuck again because we had to renew everything. But getting from where we are to where we want to be really boils down to just 3 phases that we can go through. And it's the first one is to prioritize. Second one, systematize. And then the third one is to optimize. Sounds simple, right? Nice principle. But let's dig a little bit deeper into each of them. Like I said, there's not a ton here for you to learn or even take notes on so much, although we do have the notes being taken. But just to get the concept in your mind and then go from concept to doing, because the actual doing isn't complicated. But the first one is with the prioritize. You've heard of the Pareto's principle, 80-20, right? And it applies to so many things. Well, in this case, we're going to just do a little twist on and call it the 20-80 simple rule. And what that is when you look at your practice, your business, only 20% of the processes are what is producing 80% of the results and of the revenue. It's also been said that 20% of your clients produce 80% of your revenue. I don't know if you've ever checked that, but it's probably pretty close. So we take this principle when it comes to systematizing your practice. Don't worry about systematizing everything. Worry about what are the critical practices or the processes, the workflows, that will make all the difference. And, you know, I do have notes here because I know on each of these points is a couple things I wanted to make sure I didn't forget. So the place, how do you think, I'm going to ask you, because I don't like just being the only one talking, I like interacting. What would you say is a priority in your practice, anybody? What would be a priority process that would make, has a big impact on how things go from day to day? Yes, that is a big one, isn't it? Because that's a foundation for the whole relationship with the client. Anything else you can think of off the top of your head? That's the big one. Okay, we'll go with onboarding. Excellent. Excellent. Yes, email always, email. Although that's handling email, it's not the specific process. Unless you handle every email in all the situations in a certain way, then I suppose it could be. That's almost more of a protocol, I would say. But when we look back at that case study, again, it was just one thing. Get the reports out sooner than what they were doing. So they chose that one. So they had to, in that case, because I know the whole case study, was they needed to standardize that process because it wasn't standardized at all. And then just, what do I have here? Focusing on wherever the pain might be. So that's another thing. Everybody said onboarding right away because it's painful, isn't it? It takes up so much time. So you look at the places where there's frustration, confusion, and time suck. Those are the places that generally are going to be within that 20% that would be where you focus your energy to get those systems down. But this is just prioritizing. Once we prioritize it, that's the point where now we start to systematize it, where we're building the machine. And how many people, I want to ask, have a niched practice right now? You already do. Okay. So we see a good number, and that's great. But this is where, when it comes down to systematizing, it becomes a lot easier because even your priority processes are probably, you know, narrower than those of us who are generalists if we have many different clients. And sometimes that is what can make it overwhelming to put together your processes because you might have a process for this client, a process for that client, a process for the other client, and they're all kind of different. So I love the idea, and I'm sorry, I forget who said it yesterday, but it was brilliant, is that if you have a general practice, and most of us start off that way, I sure did, is that kind of categorize them. Do you, in the, all the clients you have, look for what's common and put them in certain buckets. Because at this phase, when you want to get your most strategic processes down and then systematize them, that means basically standardizing them. Because then that will simplify what it takes to get it done. And we know that when that happens, a lot of the stress can just go away because you don't have to worry about it. It's all there. And it won't take you forever. Another thing to remember, because I know I'm a recovering perfectionist. Are there others here? Yeah. And part of the reason we can get balled up with getting our processes down is because, and it was mentioned, I believe, yesterday too, is we're trying to get it perfect. Guess what? It won't be perfect. Never will it be perfect. But just get it down, because finishing a single process and being done with it for right now so you can move forward is way better than getting it perfect, but you're never quite done with it, because that's as good as not having it at all. So we need to keep it simple. So always, as I say, KISS, keep it simple, sweetie. I say sweetie because you want to be kind to yourself. You're doing something that can be a little bit difficult. And you can just use whatever is simplest for you. For me personally, I like flowcharts, because flowcharts, to me, it's visual. I can get it down and get it done quickly. Others will use sticky notes. Others will use checklists. But to get your systems down, there's also a distinction to make, that it's not, you have to think in terms of what needs to be done. Not how, what. So it's kind of a separation between the training and the technical part of getting something done versus what's the order this should be done in, what are the different phases or steps for it to be done. And that makes it a whole lot easier, because now you're not writing this big, long instruction. That can come later, but to just get it down, you just get down the specific steps that you need to go through. And as, and I don't remember who it is, but it's some ancient Asian philosopher who said, and one of you is going to know it, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Well, the journey of having complete processes in place starts with a single process. So that's phase two here, which was the systematize. And our third principle here is the optimize part. And this is the part we always want, right? That's the part where you can bring in the automation and we can speed things up and maybe cut things out that we don't need. But the optimization, the key part on that is getting rid of the clutter. What are you doing in your practice that maybe you don't need to be doing? Can you pull it out? Are there extra steps in some of what you're doing that could be consolidated? That's the optimization part. And of course, like I said, that's the part where we go, okay, what app can help me with that? But we gotta keep it simple. So if you are the one who has most of your processes down, or at least your key ones, and you're at the point where you're ready to optimize, think about, I want to use as few apps as I can, because we can start adding clutter when we have too many moving parts. Now, you might disagree with me, and that's okay, but in all that I've done over the years with workflows and automation, I've found that when there's too many moving pieces, then you spend a lot of time in maintenance, because when they're not working right, because the software companies are changing all the time. So the optimized piece is after you've got through the prioritize and systematize. Those are the three principles. That's the crux of what we're talking about here today. So you ready to actually let's do it? So you see there's stuff on the table. You've got some sticky notes and some pieces of paper. What we're going to do is put these simple principles to work, and we're going to focus on, again, these three steps of prioritize, systematize, and optimize, but we're focusing on the first two. And the first part is to stop and think. If you don't have your systems down yet, just think of one that if you could just have that one system, the sticky one, maybe the one that brings the most frustration, onboarding might be, but that's a big system. Is there a part of your onboarding that might be sticky? Now, what you could do, depending on the mode that you prefer, is you could draw out a flowchart. And if you've been in any of my workflow classes, you've probably seen this before, ad nauseum, I've used it so many times, is that this is the very core, top-level, 20,000-foot view of what the bookkeeping, the core bookkeeping flow is. So yours might be a little bit different, and that's fine. If you feel that you need to map out your core bookkeeping, or if you specialize in payroll, maybe you're a big, big picture, 20,000 foot payroll, could be accounts payable, accounts receivable, whatever that flow is, you could map that out from 20,000 foot. Because what I personally find helpful, and it's grounding, is to start at the top level, and then like in QuickBooks reports, right, we get summary reports, but then we can drill down to the transactions. Well, we want to start at the top level and then drill down, drill down, drill down. And then, of course, ultimately at the bottom level is all your SOPs, your instructions, step-by-step instructions for when you're training your team. But we're starting at the very top here. Now, if you've already got this, and this is too, you know, basic, yeah, Gabrielle, we know how to do bookkeeping. Yeah? Okay. So look for in your process, where's the sticky point? And you'll see in the orange outlined, are they trapezoids, the slanted squares? Thank you, parallelogram, thank you. I see the power of a crowd. Everybody knows something that you don't. In this, those areas, those are where the interaction is with the clients. And we know often that's where the sticky part is, especially the part of getting the missing information. Who still struggles with that? Yep, and I do too. Less than I used to, but I definitely do too. What is your process for gathering missing information from your clients? Do you have one? Or does each person do it differently? Are you doing it differently with each client? Is there a way you could systematize that or streamline it a bit? So that's an example of getting just one chunk that you could work on that wouldn't take a long time to do. It just takes a few minutes of concentration to be able to do it. So now we're going to do that exactly right now. Is I want you to, with keeping simple in mind, keep it simple, sweetie, and we will look at just one significant process in your practice where you're struggling, and most everybody said onboarding, so maybe take a piece of your onboarding where you think maybe it's not working right or it's not defined yet. Think about that, and then put down what needs to be done. Not how, what are the steps that it goes through? Because the what is a whole lot easier to identify quickly, and it gets the ball rolling. And you can use whatever works best for you. Like I said, I like flow charts because it's quick for me, and you can draw it out on the paper there, or use the sticky notes. The nice thing with sticky notes is that you can move it around when you start doing it and change your mind, but you can only fit a few words on there, so that's good. Or if a checklist works easier for you, if you're a very linear thinker, or put it in an outline, you could do it that way too. And if you can't think of a process in your practice right now that you could do in a few minutes to map out, do that one about getting the information from the clients. Like, what is the process that you would go through in order to get that to work better, both for the clients and for you? So with that, it's up to you to do this. We're going to give you... I don't know. Well, let me ask you this first. Who already has in their mind a process that they'd like to take a few minutes and just map it out? I can't hardly see. Okay, only a few. So why don't we take 2 minutes right now, just quiet time, so not talking. Quiet time, and just think for a few minutes if there's just one process that would make life easier. And it might be something small, but what's one process that would improve the way your business is running right now? So quiet, think, and we'll put the 2 minutes on. Okay, time's up. You got it? Does everybody have something that you want to map out that you can go home today or go home tomorrow with something you can lay out and start using? Yes? Hand raise? Okay, so now is the time that we want to get it out of your head and down so that you can see it in any of the ways that work for you. But I already see someone here doing it. Excellent. So why don't we take 5 minutes and see how far we can get with writing out the actual steps, the process of getting from point A to point B in that process. And it could be, if it is, the protocol on how do we deal with email. What is the best way we will deal with email was an example. Go ahead and set the timer, please, for 5 minutes.
Okay.
I have to reconcile those, that last little bit.
Right.
That could be a process, yes.
It could be, sure. Okay. If it is, although that's a process.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty awesome to see.
Yeah, I've only been to Spokane, but it was beautiful. Yeah.
Where is Amy this week?
Amy McLaren? She's watching Berkeley.
Okay, time's up. Great job. I started to hear everybody talking a little, so the 5 minutes must have been enough. So, here's something. We took 5 minutes. If you want to count the time thinking about it, 7 minutes. In 7 minutes, you were able to get down, or at least mostly get down, a process, a key process, that would have an impact on your business. And I love to see different people using different modes. And sometimes we overthink it, so that's why having a timer can work. And I do this all the time myself when I'm procrastinating to get something done. I have a kitchen timer at my desk, and I put the timer on. And the tick, 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 tick makes me say, okay, I gotta do it now. And you'll be amazed at how quickly you can get it done. And that can happen with documenting your processes and handling them. And again, remember, if sometimes it's something like onboarding we were talking about, that you say, I don't know where to begin on that, go to that very, very high 20,000-foot level and just go the very main components that go to it. And then you drill down. It makes it a lot easier to then be able to get this out of your head and get it down. Because a lot of us, especially if we have a smaller practice, that we're doing it, I know how to do this. And that actually leads to the next stumbling block, that when we are doing our processes, and we've heard it already in this conference, that first of all, you don't need to be the one to document all your processes. It's actually a team sport when it comes to your team. Now, if it's just you in your practice, then, you know, yeah, okay, you got to do them. But you'll be getting it ready for your team. But if you have a team, and those of you who already have your processes down, if you did this, because I did this, is that you get the processes down, and then you say, hey, guys, this is how we're going to do this now. It's going to make it so much better. What happens? Do they go, great, I'll just follow that procedure now, or that process? Anybody? I couldn't hear. No. You get some pushback. And especially if you've got professionals who already have the skills, right? They go, I know how to do that. You don't need to give me that. I got it handled. And then you have processes that we aren't following. And sometimes you might find that you do the process and you're not following it. So that's why it's good to work on it together if you do have a team. And as we talked about here over here, that sometimes we might need a process to get to remind ourselves to use our process if we've been used to doing it, you know, by the seat of our pants. Because the process can't work unless we're actually using it. So those are just some tips on how best to implement it. But now I want to hear from you too, that did you find this difficult, easy? Was it just mind went blank because all of a sudden you had to do it now? Any feedback? And I know we have microphones. Good. Good. What process did you do? Excellent. Okay, so onboarding part one. Excellent. That was an excellent choice. Anybody else? Did you find it easy, difficult, and what was your process?
Can I go?
Sure. I can't hardly see. There you go.
I found it difficult because I like doing this while I'm in the process. So I found it very difficult to think of what steps there are without going through it while I was doing it.
Yes. And I can attest to that too, because there are certain processes like that. You're like, I don't even know what I do until I have it right in front of me. So yeah. So obviously that's the way you can do it. So here's a good question, and I want to know who else is a geek here. Who last night or this morning went and looked up scribehow.com and signed up? I did. And it looks like a cool tool. It looks like it's actually somewhere between this, which is I'm talking big picture, lay it out, and then we have, of course, the nitty-gritty of every single piece of how to do it. And the scribe how looks like it kind of, because it's documenting what you're doing while you're doing it. And we also know that it's been mentioned if you screen capture video to capture it and then document it. That stuff you can definitely do, but I recommend doing this level of it, the top level first, because it works as the guide to then get down into the nitty-gritty. And it makes it easier to just work on one process that has the biggest impact. So my suggestions, I don't think there's any absolute on it, and we've got lots of people in the room that can give you tips as well, because I don't know everything about it all the time. None of us do. If somebody tells you they know everything about everything, run. But I will recommend this book to you because I found it hugely helpful. Obviously, Ben mentioned The E-Myth by Michael Gerber, and there's the E-Myth for bookkeepers as well. And also, there's another book that I enjoyed that I read several years ago, and it really, it's, you know, down in shows you how, is Work the System by Sam Carpenter. But this was newly introduced to me, Systemology, and I don't know if anybody here has heard of this before, but I like it. He's the one who has the principle that I learned that 20-80, you don't got to systematize everything, just the key things, and that will get you 80% down the road. And then when you're down 80% the road and everything's going great, you can work, you'll have a whole team that you can do the other 20%. So that's my recommendation. So that's what we have for content here. Just to recap, your three-phase principles is prioritize, systematize, and only after you've systematized do you optimize. And my recommendation is that once you've got those first two phases handled, that's generally when you're going to be bringing in the automation. And I love what Jan had said yesterday, where she said she starts with a human, then she's adding all the automation, and then ends with a human. So you'll have to find, depending on the process, what's the right mix, because you also want to stay as lean as possible and focused, remember, doing the right things. So it's the prioritizing, your 20%, that'll get you the 80% results. Your standardizing as much as possible is going to make it a whole lot easier on you. And then focusing on the right things. It's the 25% that will get you the most. If I didn't say it, Brian Tracy, who said a full 75% of the decisions that you make in your business will be wrong. But the 25% that are right are the ones that make you fly. So it's a very similar principle that when we're doing our processes, we are focusing on our big picture goal and we're doing the right things to get us to where we're trying to go. The rest is clutter. And so with that, if there are any questions, we do have a little bit of time. If anybody has questions about doing this, or you can always email me if you like. So do we have any questions? Yes, we have one.
My table nominated me. One of the processes that I figured out that I needed was this is my second conference for the year, and I don't have a process for how do I go about my conferences. I process everything. My wife gives me crap about it, and I'm so validated. Thank you. But I have three phases to my conference. I have a pre-event, the conference event, and the post-event. You know, and it starts off with the conference, paying for it, travel, which is its own sub-process, which I have that in place. Does it have tracks? Like this one doesn't. The one I did before did. Pick which track that I need, because you want to strategically do that, right? And then as far as the event, it's just being here and taking bullet notes, and I do that in my Rocket Book, which has its own sub-process. Afterwards, decompress. right? Because we're all going to have to relax after this. So not even think about it, and then on Monday morning come back. And then I have a separate track for vendors, because we have wonderful vendors, but I needed to be able to do reviews on those vendors and then set up my demos. And if there are no vendors, then I have also review notes, or I'll be coming back to that in that process. And after reviewing my notes, being able to review those not only in 30 days, but in 3 months as well. So that way this information doesn't escape me throughout the process. But there you go, a simple process for conferences.
That is fantastic. So here's someone who can help you with your processes by the way he thinks, but here's a quick question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm assuming you've gone to a fair number of conferences in your time.
Not like this.
Okay.
No, most of them were in the defense industry, so this is quite a bit different. This is a lot less dry.
Oh, good. Glad to hear it. Well, with Ben, of course it is.
Good job, Ben.
But my question to you is, this process is a strategic one, a prioritized one, because do you find that it is worth your time, your effort, your expense, and all of that to come to a conference like this? Does it make a difference in your business?
Yes, ma'am. It's an investment. I mean, Perry alone was the one thing. I didn't have to come back after that. But the rest is, you know, all those nuggets and whatnot, because I get nuggets out of this, out of that, and what have you. Being able to connect with folks. There's only one other person from Wyoming, so that's very important for the two of us to just see each other. So, absolutely.
Excellent. Thank you very much. And does we have a couple minutes left? Anybody else have questions?
Questions for Gabrielle? Really? Well, I think the theme of all of this, BKX 2021, has been systems, processes, right? Again, building it all so that your business supports your life and not your business supports your life and not your life supporting your business. So let's give a round of applause again to Gabrielle.
Right. Thank you.